Welcome to episode 549 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. In 567 AD, the Council of Tours proclaimed the 12 days from Christmas to Epiphany as a sacred and festive season, and established the duty of Advent fasting in preparation for the feast. Christmas celebrations, and often a feast, started on Christmas Day and lasted for 12 days, so they were known as the 12 Days of Christmas. The celebrations finished on the evening of the 5th of January, which is better known as Twelfth Night. Following Twelfth Night, on the 6th of January, is Epiphany, when people remember the wise men, also sometimes called the three kings, who visited Jesus when he was a baby, and the baptism of Jesus when he was an adult. Epiphany, or Twelfth Night, is also the time when it was traditional to take down one's Christmas decorations, although some people leave them up until Candlemas. After both Christmas and the season of Epiphany, the end of the Christmas celebrations come on February 2nd, 40 days after Christmas, with Candlemas. Candlemas, also known as the presentation of Jesus at the temple, or the Feast of the Purification of the Virgin, is when some Christians remember the time when Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus to the Jewish temple in Jerusalem to give thanks to God for giving them a son. But the original Christmas story was much longer than 40 days. It is likely that Jesus was more than a year old when he was visited by the Magi. And rather than seeing the presentation at the temple as the end of that story, a better closing event might be the fleeing to, and perhaps even the exit from, Egypt. Egypt, one of the earliest and grandest civilizations of the ancient world, figures prominently in the biblical narrative. Situated in the northeast corner of Africa, Egypt connects to what we have come to call the Holy Land via the Sinai Peninsula. In Bible times, the life source of Egypt was the Nile River, which provided the area's only supply of water for drinking and irrigation. At the end of the rainy season, the river would swell and flood the Nile Valley, carrying nutrient-rich silt to replenish the valley's fertility. Matthew recounts that an angel of God warned Joseph to take Mary and Jesus and go to Egypt to escape King Herod, who would seek out Jesus to murder him. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus left immediately and remained in Egypt until Herod died, after which time they returned to Israel. As Egypt was a part of the Roman Empire, it was easy for Joseph and Mary to travel there. However, Egypt was outside of Herod's rule, so Jesus would be safe from Herod's death squads. At the time, Egypt was an imperial province ruled by the Roman Emperor himself, Augustus. Matthew completes this narrative by informing the reader that the return to Israel of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus fulfilled the statement, "Out of Egypt I called my son." The statement first appeared in Hosea 11 verse 1, where Hosea records these words of God. "When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." It is clear in Hosea's context that God is talking about the people of Israel. The illustrative status of Israel as God's son is first affirmed when God called Moses and prepared him to lead Israel out of Egypt. God explained to Moses in Exodus 4 verse 22 that Israel is my son, my firstborn. Because of the unique relationship that God had with Israel, the people would recognize that God was their father, even generations beyond Abraham and Jacob. God affirms a relationship long past the time of the patriarchs. Jeremiah 31 verse 9 is one example. "With weeping they shall come, and with pleas for mercy I will lead them back. I will make them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble, for I am father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." God had a covenant relationship with the people of Israel that started with the Abrahamic covenant, spelled out in Genesis 12, and again in Genesis chapters 15 through 17. This covenant will extend into eternity. When Israel was in captivity and bondage in Egypt, God would call his son, the nation of Israel, out of Egypt. Hosea 11 verse 1 accurately sums it up then with, "Out of Egypt I called my son." There is an important nuance of biblical prophecy that helps us understand how a historical happening with Israel can be fulfilled with Jesus. Often we think of Bible prophecy as the prediction of an event and then that event taking place, and that certainly is the case in many instances. But there is another aspect of prophecy. New Testament writers show that an Old Testament prophecy can sometimes simply be an event that prefigures something similar and more significant that would happen in the future. Rather than simply make a prediction about a future event, sometimes Bible prophecy records an event that points to a similar but much later event. In this case, when Matthew quotes, "Out of Egypt I called my son," he is suggesting that the Exodus of Israel is the earlier event that prefigured or pointed to a later event that would be even more significant, the quote-unquote Exodus of Jesus from Egypt. As Jesus was God's only begotten or uniquely begotten son, it was again true that out of Egypt I called my son. But this time the calling out of Egypt was a completion or the filling up of the previous event. A purpose of the earlier event was to illustrate something important in the future, and that later event of importance had now taken place with Jesus. If historical events were shaped to point forward to Jesus, it is evident that this Jesus is the central figure in biblical history. There is another important aspect of this prophecy that should be encouraging to us. Just as Israel has a unique relationship with God as their father, so we also can call him Abba, Father. Abba is a Hebrew word for father, a term of endearment like daddy, as Paul explains in Romans 8 verse 15. When we believe in Jesus, we are adopted as children, and we also have an intimate relationship with God. The creator of the universe has ordered history in such a way as to make it evident that he desires a relationship with the people he created, loving and caring for us enough to overcome our frailty and failure. Out of Egypt I called my son is not an irrelevant historical happening. It is a key historical sign pointing to the arrival of the Messiah who would deliver people from sin. Israel's redemption from Egypt is a picture of our deliverance from sin and death through faith in Jesus Christ. While initially seen as a place of refuge in famine or threat, Egypt becomes a place of oppression and slavery. For New Testament believers, Egypt represents our old life of slavery to sin. All people are by nature slaves of sin, and Satan is a much harsher taskmaster than the Egyptian overseers. The natural man labors powerlessly under the weight of sin. God redeemed his people from slavery in Egypt by the blood of the Lamb on the first Passover, and he redeems us from sin by the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Just as God called his people, the Israelites, out of bondage in Egypt, he calls us, his children, to come out and be separate and live holy lives in his kingdom. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is cast as the true and faithful Israel. Matthew retells Israel's well-known story, but he puts Jesus right in the middle as the main character. Jesus is the new Israel. He's the one who came to complete all that Israel was designed to perform. All the adulteries and idolatries and rebellion and waywardness that characterized Israel would be recast in this true Israel. Father, thank you for Jesus, the true Israel. And thank you that because you call him out of Egypt, we can also escape the darkness and despair of sin. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.